This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I'm sitting here with my mouth open. Brian Barrett just told me something, which I am not going to share. And we want to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And only at Stan McNabb can you get free oil changes and free tires for the life of that vehicle. We have a great guest on today, a gentleman that I have known most of my life, and we've played together and done all kinds of things over the years, and he comes from one of the more successful families in Rutherford County, and Mr. Larry Haynes, who, as we all know, was the son of, and is the son of, Grady Haynes, of the Haynes family. And I had a call a couple of weeks ago from Marcia Littlefield Porterfield, and said she was not able to get the show that you were on with me last year on podcast. So she wanted you back on the show again so that you could reiterate everything that you said on that show. Can you remember it, Larry?
Oh, is that how I got on?
Yeah.
By Marcia?
Yeah. That is just one of the reasons, big boy.
Well, Marcia keeps the class informed mm-hmm. On what's going on, deaths and events, and she does a great job with that, and we're grateful for that.
Now, do you want to say what you said on the show back in, May of last year?
Oh, about my first
date. That was your very first date.
Right. And I tripped over the hydrant, and Mom had to come get me at the country club, sew up my pants, and take me back. And meanwhile, all the boys got Marcia. So I saw Marcia in a picture of the Class of 56 reunion, and she looks terrific.
I mean, I saw her when she came up here, and she looks just like she did in high school.
And she does.
Well, how was your date? I mean, did it just end with an accident? Is that what happened?
We went. I've got a picture of that, and Marcia's relatively short, and in that picture, she was taller than me.
Hmm.
I was a little old bitty guy.
Yeah, but I remember when you and I went out for Little League here in the first year that they had Little League in Rutherford County. And back then, they had four teams, and players came from all over Rutherford County to play. And at that time, they would only allow so many kids per team. So if you did not have the talent to make a team, you didn't get to play back then, which is very different from the way things are right now.
That's right. And there are a lot of boys went away disappointed. And I was fortunate to get on the Cardinals. The coach was Jack Goodrich.
And a great guy. Great guy.
And as I said in my previous appearance, I could run fast, but that's about all I could do. So that's how I got on the team.
You were a pretty good athlete. Don't sell yourself short, big boy. Now, you went through school here, just like the rest of us did. And I think that you had some dealings with Mr. Pate, too, just like the rest of us did.
Well, it's. I was thinking back a few years ago, at maybe what was my best experience in school or college. And I signed up for a course in mechanical drawing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I knew who the teacher was going to be, but it was Mr. Pate.
Mm.
And I got a B out of that, and I'm prouder of that grade than anyone I ever received. But in all my school time, he's the best teacher that I have ever seen. He told you precisely what he wanted, explained everything in great detail. And I think, you know, he could have taught American history mm-hmm. or anything. And just a terrific. And I know that on the athletic field, on the football team, you experienced the same thing.
We did, and we did it exactly the way he wanted it done, or there were penalties to pay. And he could get we had Larry Majors on yesterday, and we were talking about his dad, Shirley, and they had a great rapport. They were a lot alike as far as the way Larry was talking about his dad. And it was so interesting to me that it was almost mirroring Shirley Majors and Coach Lee Pate. It was like they were looking in a mirror and acting the same way. It was amazing. But how they were able to shape your personality, build your integrity, and make you want to be successful. And that's one thing that I really remember. And you were talking about in the classroom. I never had him in the classroom, but how did he relate to those who were not able to follow his instructions?
Well, He was pretty quiet about it.
Really?
He just said, "Son, this is just not right. This is the way you've got to do it." Mm-hmm. But he was very even-handed and mm-hmm. Very serene in the way he presented it. Yeah. I got to know Mr. Pate years later after yeah. I came mm-hmm. back out of the Air Force. Mm-hmm. And underneath all that, he's really was a kind, decent man.
Oh, he really was. In fact, I'm like you. I had a number of occasions to have dinner with him after his wife had gone. And he was just a gentleman at all times, but he still had that sense of things had to be right. I never will forget, I made the mistake of calling Neyland Stadium one day, and he corrected me before I ever got it out of my mouth.
Now that sounds just like him.
Now, when you left Central, which university did you go to?
Middle Tennessee.
Okay. For some reason, I don't know why, I thought you had gone to UT, but you went yeah. to Middle Tennessee. Now, did you take ROTC when you went
no,
to there?
No, I got my degree and went to officer training school, uh-huh. which was a 90-day
I always wondered about officer training school because, you know, we had a number of them when I was in the service that had gone through that. What kind of an experience was that?
Well, it was pretty tough, but mm-hmm. the Air Force is run more like a business than the other branches. Mm-hmm. And the main thing, you need to be in good physical shape when mm-hmm. you got there. And if you wasn't, it just wore you down, and you wasn't able to do as well in the classroom as otherwise. So I got in fairly decent shape before I went down there. In fact, I went in with Ronnie Guess.
Oh, I remember Ronnie.
Yeah. And we went to OTS together, and he came back. He was a navigator mm-hmm. on C-130. And while I was in France, he rotated over there and spent 3 months with us.
Now, what were you doing in France?
Well, I was stationed there. They asked somewhere along the way where you wanted to be stationed. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, the most glamorous thing I can think of is France. Mm-hmm. So I put France, and that's where I went to Everett, France. Looking back, I wish I'd said Germany. That's where the better bases were in Germany. They were more or less permanent. I think the military and the political people knew that at some point De Gaulle was going to kick us out of there. And he did the second year I was there. And so I came back to Seward.
Well, but, now, why in the world? I mean, France, and I'm like you, France would be the place that you would think that you would go with open arms because the U.S. had pretty much freed France from Germany's oppression. And you think about it, that you can still see it in the films where they're running up to the soldiers and thanking them and hugging them, and it was the greatest day in their life. And then how did they actually treat you when you were there, the people themselves?
Well, it's like any other society, Truman. There's very nice people, and mm-hmm. there's some very rude people.
Yeah.
And I think they got a reputation for being that way. But my experience generally was good with the French people. We got out a lot in the community, went to a lot of restaurants there, and we didn't have any money, so I'd like to go back and redo it with just a little money.
A lot of places to visit over there, unique places.
Yeah, I got to go a lot of places. I went to Berlin several times. And I guess the most interesting experience I had was I went to Norway. Hmm. We had an airplane crash up there, C-130, at Bardufoss, Norway. And they were conducting some NATO exercises up there. And Bardufoss is 250 miles inside the Arctic Circle. Mm-hmm. So I went up there on the investigation team, and mm-hmm. I investigated Norwegian air traffic controllers to see if they played a part in this, and I cleared them out rather quickly. And make a long story short, we never found out what happened. He hit an ice mountain, and the plane just catapulted down mm-hmm. about a mile and a half into an ice lake down below it. So, yeah. I was out in the field with the rest of the investigators. We were hunting particular parts, the altimeters and some other things, and slipped and fell and fell about a half mile down through jagged airplane parts and didn't get hurt. But that was really a fine experience. And
you guys, the technical aspect, when something goes wrong with an airplane, whether it would be human error, mechanical, electronic, whatever, is investigated so thoroughly. I mean, it is one of the most awesome things I have ever seen when the FAA and the others get involved in investigations of that. I mean, they follow up on every minute detail. And I was talking with, we had Hoot Gibson on last week, and you know Hoot.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that he does, is he is an expert witness. He knows air flight backwards and forwards better than anybody I've ever seen in my life. And I'm totally amazed at the time and effort that goes into that. And I'm sure a lot of it is done to improve and to see the if the aircraft is holding up, the type of aircraft it is, and the type of training, is it being done adequately, or is it human error or whatever. And you working with air traffic controllers, I mean, that to me is one of the most stressful jobs there is, working in there and dealing with all that traffic.
Well, it's fun, though, if you like it. And
yeah.
I had a lot of fun. I particularly liked the GCA part of the approach control that we were in. That's a ground control approach. That's where we talk the planes in with radar.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a scope, and you've got two lines on it, and the top line is the angle of descent,
mm-hmm.
and the bottom line is the direction. So you take the airplane over about 10 miles out, and you literally talk it down. So you're above glide path or below glide path, or turn left or turn right. And we actually, you know, would talk airplanes down where they wouldn't see the runway till they got over it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if your mind is distracted? Maybe there's something else that just happens to go on at the same time. How do you deal with that?
Well, on that particular part of the procedure, you're by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's other people on other scopes doing different things, and then there's a watch supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
So it never happened to me. You just cannot be distracted. You've mm-hmm. got to stay with what you're doing, particularly if you're in bad weather.
Did you ever have to deal with someone who maybe did have some problems, whether it be technical or maybe even emotional, that's dealing with that, because it is a high-stress job. In fact, it was listed at one time in the top 10 of them. Yeah.
Well, some guys just couldn't cut it. They would go through the technical school at Keesler, but no one's allowed, including me when I came there, to control aircraft unsupervised for a year. They're right with you. And then, frankly, there's just some people that that just could not do the job. And they had to be reported and something else done with them.
Now, how long did you stay in the Air Force?
4 years.
Now, did you go, was that probably during the Vietnam era?
Yes, it was.
Because did you see a lot more going on during that period? Because I know there was a lot of air traffic going on in that particular time.
Well, when I was at Seward, I was the flight facilities officer.
Okay.
And I was in charge of all the air traffic control. And it was, as I described it the last time I was on, it's a flying circus. We were the busiest Air Force base in the United States besides the pilot training bases. We had low-performance C-7s mixed in with C-130s, which, relatively speaking, is not a high-performance aircraft as far as speed is concerned, but the C-7s were so much slower, and they were practicing maneuvers for Vietnam, 5,000-foot steep approaches that would come in. And I know I met with one of the wing commanders one day, and he said, "What can we do about this traffic? It's just getting so high." I said, "Well, you schedule less airplanes. We just take it as it comes." And I've never seen a situation where we had to back down and tell people they had to get out of the pattern and wait till we got some people landed. We would, in Murfreesboro, in Seward, we would have planes on downwind leg over Murfreesboro. There'd be that many planes in the pattern.
Did it surprise you when they decided to close Seward down?
Well, I was very disappointed.
Yeah, I was too.
And I still am. And I think the politics of that were we swapped out Percy Priest Lake for that.
Oh, really?
But
it was a great airport. It really was. In fact, it could hold planes that even Nashville couldn't handle at one time.
Well, it was a great air base, and there's people at Seward that had been there a long time, and it was just a great family, and one of the best Air Force base. And I would like to still see the Air Force community here, but you know, they say the only thing that endures in this life is change. But
that's a correct statement.
Old Larry doesn't endure change very good.
But you know, we still see the 130s flying all the time. Of course, they're flying into Nashville.
They're
now
flying into the Air National Guard terminal there at Nashville International.
Yeah, and I still have fond memories of the C-130. I mean, it's a plane that you feel like is going to last forever. It's tough. I mean, it's not the smoothest riding plane.
Oh, I used to. We had planes from Seward rotating in and out of Evereux. And on numerous occasions, I would just say, "I want to go home." And I'd hitch a ride and go back on a 130. And depending on which way they went, it was usually an 8 to 13-hour event. And in the back of the C-130, it's noisy.
And you ought to be in there with a bunch of paratroopers getting ready to jump if you want to think noisy. But well, it gets hot in there when you've got a lot of people.
I don't think Carolyn liked it very much, me getting to come home. But and then I'd catch another flight going back. And sometimes I'd have to go over to Pope Air Force Base. But that was a lot of fun. Come home.
Fort Bragg.
Yeah, got to see Mom and Dad and spend a few days at home.
I bet they were glad to see you come in, because that was uneasy times when you were in.
Yeah. Yeah, it...
And your dad, did you say there were seven of them?
There's seven brothers and one sister.
Wow.
And Fain, Uncle Fain, is still living.
Yeah.
And he's about 90 and still walking 2 miles a day.
That's amazing. Every time I run into him, I love to talk to him because he's so much fun. And we're going to have him on the show. I got to call him and get it set up because he has so many interesting experiences. And the whole family has. I mean, if you think of the word Haynes, you automatically start thinking about excellence in business around here. Your dad has Haynes Brother Lumber Company for many, many years. I can't remember when he began it, but it's been a long time ago.
You know, it's been about 60 years ago, actually. Before we leave this military subject, I talk to young people from time to time as I run into them, especially kids coming out of college, and they don't know what in the world they're going to do. And I always recommend that they consider going into the Air Force and do what I did. It's not only gratifying and fun, but you're serving your country. But the experiences you get there stays with you the rest of your life. And in many cases, you can be in a specialty field where you can write your ticket when you get out for another job. And young people in high school that cannot go to college or cannot afford to go to college, you can go in one of the branches of the military and then stay 4 years, and then they'll pay your way through college.
Did you ever get to fly much when you were in the Air Force? Of course, I know you were in the air traffic control area, but...
Well, as I said, I flew... We had to fly some with the pilots just to see what they were doing. And then they would come out to our radar facilities and up the control tower to see what we were doing. But, yeah, I flew a lot. As I said, I went to Berlin, all over Europe, Libya.
Did you get to fly in any of the fighter jets?
Nope, never did.
And that was...
I really wanted to, but you had to go through a procedure where you had to be trained on ejection procedures and such things as that, and we didn't have any such facility at Everett or Seward, and so I never got to do that, but I always wanted to do it.
I bet we can talk Hoot Gibson into taking, when he goes out and starts testing some of this aircraft, I bet we could talk him into you going up. Because I guarantee you, you couldn't talk me into going up.
Oh, I'd love to go up with him.
He was talking about all the G-forces when he was flying, you know, in Top Gun style. And then talking about the G-forces when he actually went up in his five space missions. And it was so fascinating to me. But I got to thinking, could I physically endure that type of pressure? Because I don't know if you've of course, when we used to go to these carnivals, these sling things that would throw you around, and by the time you got off, man, you were just completely wasted. I'm not too sure that I could handle it.
You probably could when you was 20 years old, but I doubt if you could handle it now.
No, I couldn't. Of course, you and I are the same age, big boy. You think you can handle it now?
No.
But you're right. I think the military experience is great. And I still am a strong believer in, and of course a lot of kids will be mad at me if I said this, in the draft, the two-year draft, because I know so many people that learned so many lessons and so many things and were able to build their lives off of the experiences that they had in the service, because you are controlled 24 hours a day. I don't care what your rank is. You're controlled 24 hours a day when you work in the military, but you learn so many things, and you learn to adapt and to change and to build on whatever you have at that time.
Well, I commend it to anybody. And I, as I said before, I would not swap that experience in the Air Force for anything I've ever done. I'm more proud of it than being a commissioner or a businessman or anything else that I've ever done.
Well, I know one thing that you did, and you really did well, and you helped not only the state of Tennessee, but Rutherford County in particular, when you were at General Services for the state of Tennessee. I mean, you were always had your door open, and you would if something came that you owned into your care that you felt like that would be something that could be used in this community, you would give us a call here. And people don't understand how effective that is when you're trying to run a business.
Well, we came across a piece of equipment that we sold to you.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much gave it to us.
Well, it was
almost like a tank. It was a vehicle that you could use if you were under fire and you had to go in with your SWAT team or something like that, and you could actually drive up to the area without being in physical danger. It had big wheels, not like a tank who would have the tracks, but it was very similar without the gun turret.
Well, yeah, I remember Colonel Scott, who was the commander of the Highway Patrol, wanted that piece of equipment real bad, and
You got it. And thank you very much. And we want to let you know this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And they come into your home, take care of all your normal duties, make sure that everything is taken care of inside the home, including yourself, and they run errands for you. So if you're no longer able to take care of those things and you're looking for a way that you can stay in your home, give them a call. It's 713-4639. Or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And they're actually located at 237. That's 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard.
Play it again, sports!
25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
If you love college basketball, there's nothing like the madness of March. If you're a fan of the Sun Belt Conference, the place to be March 3rd through the 6th is Hot Springs, Arkansas. For the 2012 Conference Basketball Tournament, ticket packages for the entire tournament are available for $128 at your local Sun Belt Schools ticket office. Don't miss out on 4 days of fun in Hot Springs, Arkansas, America's first resort. The Sun Belt's top teams will battle it out for a trip to the dance. With new rivalries being made, championships being crowned, and dreams coming true. Get your Sun Belt Conference tournament tickets today.
Be a hero for kids with cancer. Join Bald in the Borough's second annual St. Baldrick's event on March 16th at 4 p.m. located in Lanes, Trains, and Automobiles in Murfreesboro. You can be a part of the excitement, whether you shave your head, volunteer, or donate. You'll be giving hope to those kids fighting childhood cancers. Go to baldintheborough.com and see how you can be a hero too. Sponsored by Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Visiting with Polly Walls at the Omni Hut, open Tuesday through Saturday for dinner. You can see the difference when you walk in the door.
I think our decor speaks for itself. It's unique. We're simple. We're not a large operation, but I think that's part of the quaintness of us, I hope.
Catch the Aloha spirit at the Omni Hut.
Locally owned and operated since 1960. Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan.
It's Friday, January the 27th, and that feeding fellowship is tonight from 5:30 until 8 over at the Walnut Grove Missionary Baptist Church. That's at 2480 Twin Oak Drive. They reach out and welcome everyone to their church. 5:30 until 8 tonight, Reverend Richard Seibert says, come over for dinner. And again, the Walnut Grove Missionary Baptist Church is at 2480 Twin Oak Drive. C.S. Lewis's play, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, at 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, as well as a 2 o'clock matinee tomorrow over at the Swan Performing Arts Center. And that's at 1203 Park Avenue. General admission is $12 and the VIP admission is $25. Phone 617-3784 to make reservations. And the 12th Annual Flute Festival at MTSU is tomorrow. It's over in the Wright Music Building tomorrow. The registration's at 8 o'clock, and the session opens at 8:30. And there's a gospel sing tomorrow night at 7 at the New Beginnings Church, and that's at 9303 Old Rockvale Road, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And free food and clothes will be given away Sunday from 11 until 1 over at the Oakland Park Seventh-day Adventist Church. Those are Good Neighbor events.
Did you realize we have 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99? Hi, this is Mike from Maple Street Grill. Debbie and I wanted to invite you down to try some of the exciting new menu items. 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99. Maple Street Grill, 109 North Maple Street in the historic downtown Murfreesboro area.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
Welcome back with Larry Haynes, and we'll let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street, and that's beside Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall, and Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Eberly buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware, and they have vintage sports collectibles and even some great antiques. And for a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today at the Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street, or give them a call at 890-2646. And now they have a second store, and the new location there is 5631 the New Nashville Highway. 5631 New Nashville Highway. Well, you and I have met and known a lot of people in our lives, Larry. And one of them that you and I have known quite well just about the whole time is Jimmy Thompson. And do you remember what his nickname was in school?
No.
Well, I know it was his football nickname. We called him Toothpicks. That was because of his legs.
a quick story. When I was a sophomore, we were in a regional or district tournament basketball, mm-hmm. and we had just won the thing. Everybody was excited, and we were in the library one day right after that, and I was standing around and wasn't close to the situation, but somebody took a drawer out of a desk and threw it out the window. So I got called to the office. Do you remember Mr. Blair?
Oh, yes.
R.M. Blair.
R.M. Blair.
Yeah. Well, he says, I've got some girls, and they're good girls, too, that say you did this. I said, well, Mr. Blair, I didn't do it. And the conversation went on, and finally I told him, I know who did it, but I'm not going to tell. And he didn't like that, but finally... he let me out, and it went on. I remember Miss Reeves in English. She said, somebody really got beside themselves this morning and threw a drawer at the library window. Well, I wouldn't tell then, but after 50 years, I'm going to tell who it was, and it was Jimmy Thompson.
Now, I am totally surprised.
Well, I tell you, I never believed in being a snitch, but... I was sitting there thinking, what would be worse, getting expelled for a day or telling on Jimmy Thompson and the beating that he might give me? He was a big guy.
Oh, yeah.
I said, I believe I'll just take whatever Mr. Blair's got to offer.
Well, you're tougher than I was because Ms. Black, we had it before she came in that we were not going to say anything, and when she asked us, we were all going to keep quiet. Because we're on strike because she wouldn't let us go outside. It was hot that day, and she'd let the other class go out, and she wouldn't let us go out. So she zeroed in on me because she said, I just knew that you would tell the truth no matter what I did. And sure enough, I owned up to it. So she got the weak link, and it happened to be me. I can't believe you lasted this long. Does Jimmy know that you know?
I imagine Jimmy's forgot about it, but now.
I'm glad we got a guy like you that's on the Christy Houston Foundation board.
Yeah.
Now, you guys, you really have done a magnificent job. I know you work with Bob Mifflin and all the other, all the board members that are on Christy Houston, and you have been a lifesaver in a number of areas because you've been able to manage the money that has been left here to take care of and to take care of some of the things that normally government or some of the areas cannot do.
Well, that's what we try to do, projects that will enhance the quality of life of the people of Rutherford County.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a number of things here in town. We really like bricks and mortar, mm-hmm. and built a new Rutherford County Health Department. Mm-hmm. The library, we donated $10 million to the new hospital,
mm-hmm.
And just numerous things all over town.
Are you narrowed down to certain aspects of what you can and cannot give the money to?
Yeah, we have to give the money to a 501(c) tax mm-hmm. exempt organization.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give money to individuals, and we don't give money to any entity to pay salaries or things along that line. It mm-hmm. has to be for equipment or buildings, remodel buildings and such as that.
What if there is a specific health problem maybe in Murfreesboro or any city or government organization in this county? Can you fund those type of things that are needed to make it better when maybe the government doesn't have the financial abilities to do it?
Yes, we can if there's an organization that requests the or have the ability to carry out mm-hmm. What you're talking about. but we don't manage ourselves mm-hmm. Projects. We don't build things ourselves, mm-hmm. and we just give the money to other organizations.
Well, Larry, we have a caller on the line.
Actually, this is a little different, but I want Larry to put his headphones on. I want you to listen here, too. I just got an email that I wanted to read while Larry was on, okay?
Okay, good.
And put those headphones there on, and tell me if you know who this is.
We're WGNS, the Good Neighbor Network.
Do you know that voice? That is Mr. John Young.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's married to your sister, right?
That's correct.
Marlene. All right, he just sent an email and wanted to say to Truman, we appreciate your gracious and kind spirit toward Larry. He doesn't do much bragging on himself. It takes someone like you, who not only knows everybody but knows a lot about everybody, to bring up things that we may have never heard. You're doing a great job making some of the nicest people in the world there in Murfreesboro look good. You never made this a show. That's about you. It takes a real good man to do that. But today, my excuse to write and thank you for years of service to the city as well as to being so nice to my brother-in-law. That's from John Young. He just sent that in, and I thought I would.
Well, that is so nice, John. I really appreciate that. I don't deserve that. It sounds like that you may be buying somebody's dinner tonight, Larry.
Oh, John. John is a great guy, and he's married to my sister, Marlene.
Uh-huh.
And my mother died recently. In fact, it was in October. And John did the eulogy at the graveside service and did a wonderful job.
He's got a beautiful voice, hasn't he?
Yeah, you hear him all the time. Of course, on Channel 5, mm-hmm. he's that voice you hear.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through the radio and occasionally hear him. Very distinctive voice.
He has one of those voices. You know of people who make their living just talking about different things for other communications, whether it be TV, radio, or whatever. And he has one of those voices. I mean, it's just really... I get here talking, I drop my glasses on the floor and everything else.
Well,
but
John,
he is such a...
In conversational tones, he doesn't sound like at all like he sounds on TV or on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he puts that voice on when he does that.
Now, you used to be in development here, land development in Rutherford County. Have you gotten away from that, or are you still involved? Because that's one of the main aspects about the growth in this community.
Yeah. Well, when I was at Haynes Brothers, Dad and I and my brother and Johnny Terry Wilson started a company called Haynes Development Company. And we started out in Regency Park.
Beautiful area.
And about 20 acres or so. Mm-hmm. And developed it and then bought another section. And we kept buying land back through there, and we were able to develop 500 homes in there. And we had the covenant restrictions. The main one, the most distinctive one, is the all brick. Mm-hmm. And those houses look just like they did when they were built. The people take care of them, so we're very proud of what we did. Development, Truman, is a very dangerous business. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't know, and I think developers get a little bit of a bad name. The developer pays for everything. Mm-hmm. He has to buy the land. Yeah, he has to put in the streets, the water, the sewer, the utilities, all the drainage.
That's a big financial commitment.
It is. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And so there's a matter of market timing, and if you're able to be in a steady market, you can do okay. But if you've got a huge inventory of lots and then the market just stops on the dime, mm-hmm. you're hung with them. When things slow down at Haynes Brothers, we can reduce inventory and we can reduce the number of employees to adjust our overhead. Those people holding raw land and lots are just, it's a terrible thing. So it's broke a lot of people. It's a very profitable business as long as things are going good, but you just don't know what's liable to happen.
We've both seen the top and the bottom of it three or four times in our lifetime.
Absolutely. At least that many times.
And when you started the development company, did that include your business that you had with the lumber company?
It was a separate business.
Okay.
We wanted to develop. We didn't build any houses. We sold to contractors.
Mm-hmm.
and primarily our own customers that trade with us. So we were able to sell the materials for the most part, although that wasn't a requirement to buy the lot. But we would get about halfway through one section and then buy another piece of our land. We were buying land back then for $5,000 an acre. Mm. And you look at the price of raw land now. Of course, it's down right now, but mm-hmm. there's hardly any new development going on. Well, my prediction for Rutherford County is a shortage of building lots.
I hope you're right, because I know that when the building was really going at top speed, there were a lot of developers and a lot of builders out here that were building the really nice homes. And that, of course, you were building nice homes. And you know, that's something that's going to stay with us for quite a few lifetimes. You look over in Riverview, in that area, I mean, it's still just like it was when it was built many years ago. It really hasn't changed. But you're seeing these really nice homes, and we've both been affected by it. We've seen it, where it's hard to sell those homes right now because they built so many of them when the time was not right. And you've got people like me. A lot of us, bought smaller homes, and then we've gone up as our income has gone up. And then when you get to the time that you want to go to another step higher, maybe your property is not going to be able to bring what you envisioned it was going to bring. And so therefore you can't afford to go to that next two or three steps above you. Mm-hmm. So it seems like that everything has kind of stagnated when it's regarded the those top level homes.
Yeah, you're seeing some nice houses built right now. Mm-hmm. The people that's got the money to build them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see as many nice spec homes being built. The bigger ones, you see a few though.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing is to get the situation where you and I are now, and we're in places where we want to stay the rest of our life, mm-hmm. and we're very happy about
right.
it.
Right.
And we don't care what our house is worth.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
Doesn't affect us at all.
When you get older, you kind of want to trim down a little bit.
That's right.
Make it a little bit more simple. But are you still looking at maybe getting still stay in the development business and working on that phase?
No, the price of raw land is still too high, and that business has evolved where the primary players are people that they do, they're the developer, they're the builder, and they're the real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got three ends to work on. And so if their development doesn't go as well as it should, because when you start one of these things, you never know what you're going to run into.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you run into a rock situation. What I used to do is do my cost estimate on it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd add 30% to it.
Hmm.
And it would always take it up. Something's always going to happen. But these people that are in business to do that, they have pretty well driven the guy that wants to go out and just do land development. It's just, no, I'm not going to do any more. In fact, I don't do anything except to go to the MAC every day.
Hey, you're looking good.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Just trying to be a good old man.
And Marsha, he still looks like he did back when he was 15 years old.
I wish.
Don't we all? And we want to let you know that the last part of the show is brought to you by Pirtle & Howerton Automotive. And, of course, that's Mark Pirtle and John Howerton. And their business is at 2006 North Main Street in Shebaville, Tennessee. And if you're looking for a Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC, give them a call, 1-800-264-6800, toll free, or pull them up on the internet, PirtleHowerton.com. And before or after, take about a 20-25 minute drive down 231 South. It's on the left just before you get into downtown Shebaville, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be satisfied when you get there.
Hello, my name is Lance Jenkins, candidate for property assessor. As your next property assessor, I will ensure that every property owner is treated fair and equally. I have over 17 years experience in the property assessor's office, serving from 1987 to 2004 as deputy assessor under former assessor Tommy Sanford. I would appreciate your vote for property assessor, early voting February 15th through February 28th. I am Lance Jenkins, and I approve this message, Lynn E. Jenkins Treasurer. Vote Lance Jenkins, property assessor.
Hello, this is Truman Jones. We have a new sponsor and one that you're going to be delighted with. It's National Healthcare, National Healthcare Corporation right here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And this is where life is celebrated. Discover a different kind of care, one that ensures that you're surrounded by people who make a difference in your life. In 11 states, patients and residents feel right at home at National Healthcare Corporation's more than 130 affiliated healthcare centers and home care offices. Their family of facilities delivers exceptional rehabilitative, skilled nursing, and extended care in locations that are close to home and family. In line with their longtime commitment to provide a continuum of care to those who need their services at any age. And want to let you know that this is a local business started here, even though it's pretty much all through the Southeast. National Healthcare, Murfreesboro, where life is celebrated.
If you want to get some barbecue, I'll tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock, $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Larry Haynes. And we've covered a lot of areas, and we've cut or just about everything except Mr. Jimmy Earle. We hadn't said anything about him today.
Well, I heard Jimmy on your program Wednesday, and I heard him, rightly so, defending officials and the hard job they have. However, back when Jimmy first started coaching, and he was building his program at that time, so his, you know, he was limited in talent. But after a while, people started coming to the games, and they came to see Jimmy. They came to see Jimmy go out to half court and get a technical foul on purpose to spur up his team. But the most favorite one is Jimmy throwing his coat. So we went back. Jimmy was my neighbor. Lived next door to me on Grandview Drive. And so Chuck Taylor got me interested in that program. And it was a great part of my life for a number of years. We went to all the road games, had some great times. We'd go stay in Lexington and then go to Moorhead, then up to Eastern Kentucky while we were there. And Murray, that was always a good trip. And used to carry Coach Murphy with us. And
I bet that was a trip.
Yeah, he had a good time with us, and we had a good time with him.
You really had a special life because you have been around so many great people, so many nice ones, and of course I know they've enjoyed being with you too. But when you talk about Coach Murphy, I mean, you're talking about a legend that will never die here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County.
He was such a gentleman. I remember being in school out there, and of course I wasn't playing football, but I run into Coach Murphy one day, just walking, and he stopped and said, "How you doing, son? And what are you doing? What are you majoring in?" Mm-hmm. Just an absolute gentleman. Of course, years later, I got to know him personally, and he's missed by a lot of people here in town.
You don't find too many people that are on the level that he was for so many years. And whenever he would run into you, he would always holler at you, holler for your name, want to talk to you for a while. He always had time for everybody. It didn't matter what it was. And I've always thought, how in the world could a man be as nice and laid back as he was, and like you said, such a gentleman, and be as great a coach as he was? But it must, a lot of it had to be just strictly out of respect, because he earned that respect with everybody he was around.
Well, his players played for him, and he had some good assistants back in those days. And I remember as a small child going over there on Thanksgiving Day to see him play Tennessee Tech, and that was some great time. But Jimmy Earle is my best friend. He's a great guy. So I just had to point out, though, that it was different when Jimmy was a coach.
Jimmy Earle is one of those people that when he's your friend, he's your friend for life.
Absolutely.
And you've got that loyalty with him no matter what. And I love to sit down and talk to him because he's known so many people, and they've also close to him. And you can get so many great stories of people that you've heard about all your life, and they come to life while you're sitting there talking to him. And having you on here, I get the same feeling. I get the same vibes. You go right down the line. Larry Majors, that was on. Hoot Gibson. Hoot is not from this community originally, but he settled right in, and it's those type of people that have that quality personality, and you can actually see that they care about people, that really makes a difference when you're around them.
Well, Jimmy told me, you years ago, said you can't put a price tag on loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And he is loyal and very caring and very sincere man.
You know, your dad was that way.
He was, and it was interesting. People would come in the store in overalls and out in the country, and Dad walked by and stopped and introduced himself and talked to him. He was at home talking to anybody, be it a president of the United States or just ordinary people.
And also you can see it in the people that work for him, because a lot of them were there for many, many years and retired there. And of course, I always look him up when I go into your shop over there. I'm talking about Haynes Brothers. I guess Terry's over there now.
Well, Terry runs the operation, does a good job, and he's been doing that for a number of years.
But some of the guys that I would always look up, and one of them was Tommy Trott. Of course, you and I remember Tommy Trott being a legend at Central High School on the basketball court.
He was, and Tommy went to work part-time while he was in high school. And Daddy liked to hire Mr. Pate's people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he retired there when he was 65.
I wonder why he liked to hire Mr. Pate's people that worked for that played for him.
Buck Arms,
yeah,
another one.
Mm-hmm.
That Buck is passed now, but Buck, when I came down there, helped train me.
Now, how come you just never did want to work in that business? I know you did some, but you know, a lot of people, just like Bud Mitchell, he still works over there where his dad started the business, and you hope that those things continue on, and I'm sure that Haynes Brothers will continue on through the family. But you had other interests outside.
Well, I sold my interest in 1987, mm-hmm. Back to Dad, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about 48 then, and retired for a couple of years. That sure wasn't any fun.
No.
at that age. And then went into that development business by mm-hmm. myself. And mm-hmm. then shortly after that, I went into Governor Sundquist's cabinet.
Did you really enjoy being up there?
Yeah.
Because I know it's a whole different world when you go up there.
Yeah, I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was... great people working for me, a right-hand man, my deputy commissioner with Ed Jones. And Ed is just an absolute brilliant person. And
takes after his mother.
Well, his dad, Bill, is a good friend, mm-hmm. and I've known him for a number of years. And mm-hmm. I worked with Bill in helping him in all the way to commissioner mm-hmm. of safety, colonel of the highway patrol. And then he worked as a city chief for all those years.
But did a great job.
He's a great friend. Mm-hmm. I talk to him often. And
now, what's Ed doing now?
Well, he went back to TBI, and he's mm-hmm. deputy director in charge of administration mm-hmm. over there. Well, he still carries a gun and drives a car with sirens in it, but he doesn't arrest anybody.
I don't miss that a bit. Well, it's been great, Larry. I mean, the first time it was great, this time it was great, and I think you get better every time, so I got to keep having you on, and I probably need somebody to take my place from time to time, and I think you would be good. Maybe.
Oh, I don't know about that now.
Well, let's see. Next week, we will start the week off with Mr. Jim Freeman, and I think you know Jim.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember Jim.
Jim was in school with us, one class behind, I believe, but he also used to run Daytona Speedway in Talladega, and very instrumental in NASCAR, so it's going to be a great show next week.
Yeah, I'd like to come on sometime with Richard Rees.
I don't believe I can handle both of you, big guy. I'll try. I'll give it a shot. See you next week.